Money FM 89.3, the best of the breakfast huddle. Mind your business with the breakfast huddle, only on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danker and Ryan Huang. It's time now for Mind Your Business. For years, it's been an article of faith in corporate America that cloud computing and artificial intelligence will fuel a surge in wealth-generating productivity. Well, that belief has inspired a flood of venture funding and company spending, and the payoff will not be confined to a small group of tech giants, but will spread across the economy. Unfortunately, it hasn't really quite happened yet, and the world's kind of fallen short on productivity, and many of the disruptions during and after the pandemic has kind of exposed all of this. Well, Singapore is possibly one of the few countries to disclose a gain in productivity, and our nation is considered rare, even among developed countries, for its industry government initiatives in the years prior to the pandemic. So what can be done specifically by businesses to improve on their productivity problems? Let's try and find out more from Razat Garaf, who is the CEO of PlanView. Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So you've got quite an interesting background, Razat. You were recognized by Goldman Sachs as one of the 100 most intriguing entrepreneurs of the year 2020. Now, PlanView, a global enterprise software company headquartered in Austin, Texas. Tell us more about it.
Sure. Like you said, we're an enterprise software company based in Austin, Texas, but with a global presence. And we're in the solution domain that's called portfolio and work management. So we work with, you know, global companies in helping them develop a new paradigm to how they do work that ultimately leads to more productivity improvements, efficiency improvements, as well as achieving the sort of business outcomes that every company is trying to deliver on as part of their strategic initiatives.
Tell us a bit more about your clientele list. Are there particular segments or sectors that stand out?
Yeah, we typically work across industries. So the big verticals where we play include financial services, insurance, manufacturing, retail, pharmaceuticals, also a lot of state and government agencies around the world. So just about any organization that is going through change, that is going through transformations, and needs to deliver on these initiatives in a productive and efficient way, we typically are working with. We've got almost 5,000 customers globally right now.
Yeah, you talk about all those industries, and they will be facing the issue of productivity problems. What are some of the common productivity problems that companies are facing right now? And if you could elaborate a little bit, when we say productivity, what exactly does that mean?
Sure. Look, change is rampant all around the world, and change was already happening pre-pandemic, but during the pandemic, it just went on turbocharge. And change is happening because of many reasons. It's happening because of technology shifts in many industries. It's happening because of changing consumer expectations. It's happening due to changes in the geopolitical setup and the world order we live in. So there are many different dimensions to change. And most companies that have been operating have to transform themselves to adapt themselves to deal with this change, right? And those transformations in many situations are taking the shape of digital transformations. You know, no matter what industry you're in, you know, for example, if you're in the automotive industry, you're going through a tectonic shift from the internal combustion engine, which has existed for over 100 years, to the electric vehicle, right? And that involves a lot more software and digital technologies than component parts, right? If you're in, for example, banking, your consumer expectations, your customer's expectations require you to create a digital, you know, approach in how they interface with the banks. If you're in retail, you're dealing with omni-channel retailing because the new generation of consumers are ordering online or on apps as opposed to going into a store. So there's digitalization that's rampant. And as you are trying to deliver on a variety of projects and products in the enterprise, you're trying to make sure that the business outcomes you're trying to achieve, business outcomes could be, you know, revenue growth, margin improvements, market share expansion, new product launches, no matter what your strategic initiatives are, you're trying to ensure that they are delivering on these business outcomes that you're trying to achieve. And so for us, productivity is all about, you know, bridging the gap between strategy and outcomes. And in between, you know, those two words exist a lot of initiatives, a lot of people, a lot of, you know, investments, a lot of resources and capital that flow into these initiatives. And we're all about ensuring that companies are achieving the outcomes that they're hoping to achieve through a variety of initiatives. And that's where we partner with, you know, global companies in financial services, retail banking, et cetera, to ensure that they're getting those outcomes.
Mm. One potential problem in that scenario is you could end up with a case where companies in the journey of digital transformation end up, you know, they function in their own silos. How do you help deal with those issues?
That's right. You know, when we've studied, and, you know, we have the luxury of being, you know, able to work with companies all around the world, when we've studied what makes for a successful transformation versus what is not a successful transformation, what we found is one of the biggest root causes for, you know, the dilution between initiatives and investments versus the return on investment are the disconnects that exist within the organization. Mm. And these disconnects have multiple dimensions. One of those dimensions is what you just mentioned, which is, you know, the functional silos, right? And because many of our customers tend to be large, you know, multi-billion dollar organizations, the different functions within an organization, they sometimes have misaligned, sometimes conflicting objectives. Not all the goals are thoughtfully aligned. And that leads to a lot of drift from strategy that the company's trying to achieve. So functional silos is definitely one element of it. Also, what we find a lot of times, the disconnects exist between leadership at the very top echelons of these organizations versus where the rank and file of the teams are actually spending their time and effort, right? And if those, you know, hierarchies in these organizations, those organizational hierarchies are not aligned, again, on what are the outcomes you're hoping to achieve, you know, how does an entry-level employee impact the strategic initiative? If that's not fully aligned and visible and transparent and synchronized on an ongoing basis, that leads to a lot of disconnects. There are also disconnects because of, you know, data and systems, because most of these companies, they are operating with hundreds, sometimes thousands of different systems, and those systems are siloed. And, oh, by the way, the single most dominant system that is used to execute on work or to deliver on work continues to be Microsoft Excel spreadsheets, right? And so, and these Excel spreadsheets are not connected to each other. So disconnects exist because of the functional silos. They exist because of, you know, the misalignment or the disconnects between the different hierarchies in the organization, between leadership and teams. And they also exist because of the lack of synchronization in data and systems.
Mm. Excel spreadsheets, my greatest nightmare. But you talked about the misalignment part. I mean, I would naturally think that forced communication is key here. But you guys have this thing called agile computing. Does that play a factor in breaking those digital silos?
Yeah, it's very fundamental to our vision of what connected work means in these organizations. Think of this as the modern, you know, agile operating system of an organization. And we are very inspired, and we've learned a lot from, you know, agile processes, from lean Kanban processes in various other forms of work. And ultimately, the most important essence, I mean, there are many different elements of agile way of working that are very important, but one of the most important ways that I can describe it in very simple English is, as changes are happening in your outside world, as changes are happening within your own organization, and you're executing on these initiatives, and these initiatives sometimes are not finished, and you know, they don't start and finish within a day or a week. They sometimes take months, sometimes even years, right? While you're delivering, all these changes are also happening. And sometimes a lot of the assumptions you may have made at the start of an initiative may have completely changed while you're executing. So having those feedback loops and those learning cycles are very fundamental in terms of ensuring you can still achieve your ultimate business outcomes while you're navigating through all the change. And that's what an agile operating system allows you to achieve. And so that's very core to how we've constructed and architected our platform, is to really be able to ensure large banks around the world, large automotive companies around the world, large retailers, large insurance companies, large state organizations are able to incorporate these feedback loops and learning cycles while they're in execution, which improves their chances of achieving the outcomes that they want.
Razat, you guys have also expanded into the Asia-Pacific region. There's an HQ here in Singapore. Why should you choose Singapore to set up shop?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Look, we are headquartered in the U.S., and you know, as we've been thinking through our global expansion, we have a large presence across Europe as well. And Asia-Pacific, primarily our presence in the region was in ANZ, Australia and New Zealand. But when we evaluated, you know, our approach to the region and our market expansion in the region across various countries in Southeast Asia and further farther east and Japan, Korea, etc., we were looking for a base where it would allow for us to develop a core team and a core capacity that could support and work across the region. And, you know, part of the reason why we picked Singapore is sort of a multifold reason. One is access to talent and people that we could recruit. Second is just the ease of doing business, frankly, for a multinational entity like us. It's very straightforward to establish a legal entity and to be able to operate the business in Singapore. Thirdly, the ease of being able to bring resources back and forth. So as we're, you know, seeding our regional capacity and team, we're able to also bring expertise from all around the world, including here in North America or in Europe, to the team in Singapore. So I think it's a combination of reasons. And then, of course, I think the people in Singapore, and I've had this experience in previous lives as well, they tend to have great cultural awareness in how they're able to work with various countries around the world, right? And that cultural awareness is very key when you're trying to provide coverage across a diverse region like Asia Pacific, you know? And so it's a combination of these reasons that led to us choosing Singapore as our headquarters for the region.
Been speaking with Razat Garaf, who is the CEO of PlanView. Razat, appreciate your time this morning. Take care. Have a great day, yeah?
Great. Thank you. Cheers.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.